Alan Kohler here, and I'm talking to Alex Pollock, who is the founder and chief investment officer of Loftus Peak Capital. And they were somebody we've spoken to many times over the years. And Alex invests in technology and in particular disruption. It was a tough year last year, but things have gone much better this year because of artificial intelligence and ChatGPT. So I thought it'd be a good idea to get him on the blower and talk about that and how he's playing artificial intelligence. Here he is, Alex Pollock of Loftus Peak. Well, Alex, last year was a tough year for technology investors and disruptors like yourself. How's it looking this year with artificial intelligence, in particular ChatGPT and the rest of them?
Well, it's turbocharged our portfolio. We're up 20+% in the first 2.5 months of the year. So that's working. And ChatGPT and AI, which has been bubbling along in the background now for really 15 years, but it's really hit its straps, I think, in the last 12 to 18 months. So frankly, you know, we've got a portfolio full of stuff that takes advantage of all that. So yeah, it's been good.
Such as what? Let's go through what stocks are taking advantage of AI.
Well, the obvious one is Nvidia, right? I mean, there is no AI without that. It's the story of, you know, what happens in technology in a general sense is the story of, you know, successive breakthroughs for people, for the humankind, so to speak, have only been capable with the underlying tools that enabled them. So you could never get a rocket ship to the moon unless you could work out how rocket propellant worked. And you couldn't do that unless you had, you know, processing power, et cetera. So with more technology comes more ability to feed more people, do more things, et cetera, you know, fly people around the world, all that jazz. The core of what's going on inside of AI right now is what Nvidia is doing with parallel processing. And the parallel processing part is profound and massively important. A CPU needs all instructions to go through it sequentially. A parallel processor, which is what Nvidia produces, allows millions and billions of decisions to be made in a decentralized way, in parallel. In other words, each single part, so to speak, of the chip can handle only a small piece of information. Maybe it's, you know, the turning the pixel red or turning the pixel blue. But in combination, it makes a picture. And that can only happen with GPUs, and the big GPUs makers, of course, are Nvidia, and there are others as well. But so you can't even start it without big GPUs. And, you know, Nvidia it's a company that we've held really since 2016 at one weight or another, and we continue to hold it. It's very important. You want to ask me about others as well?
Well, let's keep focusing on Nvidia for a moment. It's up about 90% this year so far.
Yeah.
To $264.
Correct.
What are its valuation metrics? Do its valuation metrics look like now? And is it getting to the point where it's expensive?
It's, well, we've held it through this appreciation. The answer to the question is it does look expensive. It absolutely does look expensive right now. In order to get to the valuation that it's sitting at right now, you really need to imply 40% compound revenue growth for the next 5+ years. Now, you know, that's possible.
But you're not selling, I presume, Alex.
Well, let's just say that it's not the biggest position in the portfolio because of the valuation right now.
Right.
There are cheaper ways to take advantage of machine learning than Nvidia, but you've got to have some, right?
Right, because you never know. Maybe it will do 40% compound revenue growth. Is that right?
Correct. And you know, we adjust the risk of the portfolio through the choke of the position size. So if we have a very high degree of confidence that they will achieve a sensible rate of growth, revenue growth, for example, in the next 5 years, we could hold a stock at a higher weight. Where a stock's got to make absolutely heroic revenue growths, we would hold it at a lesser weight, and that's how we adjust risk and sort of are pretty steady around our, you know, performance numbers for the last, you know, 9 years, 8 years.
So, is it possible to invest directly into AI? Because I know that OpenAI, the developer of ChatGPT, I think is listed Well, it was a not-for-profit. I mean,
well, it's a not-for-profit, so
I think it's becoming a for-profit somehow.
Look, the you know, who knows how that will work, but the point about AI really is it becomes important on the applications that on which it is offered, right? So the point is that if you write things, if you create spreadsheets, if you, you know, are in the business of drug development through the folding of proteins, you use AI tools to do those things when you haven't been able, where you would have done them manually, so to speak, before. So a big way in which to play AI is not just through NVIDIA, but it's through the companies that will that are providing the applications on which the machine learning will run. And the obvious ones, obviously, are, you know, Microsoft, tons and tons of applications on which machine learning will run. Google, tons and tons of applications. There's other plumbing stocks like Arista that, you know, make the data center, you know, machine learning run around quickly, etc. There's a whole bunch of different ways to play it. And indeed, we're playing it a whole bunch of different ways. But
yeah. So are you buying Microsoft and Google as AI players?
We own Microsoft and Google as AI players 100%. That is correct.
Right.
That's 100% correct, and others besides.
But obviously those stocks in particular are much more than AI.
Well, they are much more than AI. We own them always because they're platform companies on, you know, one which you can bolt additional businesses. AI was always one of those businesses that was being bolted onto it. It got very interesting this year. But it's, you know, the implications of AI on the Google and Microsoft business, for example, are really, really significant. You know, Satya Nadella has said, if I pick up 1 percentage point of share from Google in search, it's $2 billion of revenue to me.
Right. Is that so? I haven't heard
that. That's what he said. So, yeah.
And so that's the reason that they're going with this Bing chatbot.
Correct. The chatbot co-pilot, right? It runs alongside you. So, I mean, simply put, right, to go back to the applications, let's say you're a real estate agent and you want to write a blurb. And I did this myself the other day for a house, right? And you want to write a blurb about a property in, you know, Brighton in Melbourne, for argument's sake, right? And you know the property. You tell AI the address of the property and say, write me a script that I might use to, as a real estate agent, to sell the property. And in 40 seconds, I had that script, you know, beautiful views, you know, 4 bedrooms, architect design, blah, blah, blah. It led me to believe that it actually knew the property, meaning that it had crawled the web, because the latest AI does crawl the web, and it actually had found other people's comments on this particular property and said, and so knew the property specifically and then described it. Yes, I'm not kidding, in 40 seconds. I talked about Brighton. I used my own house just to see what it would do. It described my own house. I just gave it the address. It described my house, number of bedrooms, blah, blah, blah.
Right. So, you know, as I'm sure you have, I've been reading a lot of stuff about AI and ChatGPT and so on, and a lot of commentators are describing it as humanity's new Prometheus moment, and so on. But really, I mean, it seems to me that it's basically a business proposition. I mean, it's a big deal, sort of, you know, in an almost philosophical sense. But the way it's being developed is as a, you know, as a business, right?
Yeah, it's a business tool. But the invention of the steam engine, right, notionally was a mechanism to pump water out of mines, right? But actually, if you were to write the history of the steam engine invention right now, you'd say it was a machine for decoupling economic growth from population growth. So AI is another one of those things, right? It decouples productivity from the number of people that were involved in it to date, and adds whole new layers of productivity that were not possible before. So yes, it is a fire moment in its own right. But I'm not going to say it is fire, because, you know, we don't know all the ways in which it will work and or not work. But it is a business, and it's investable as a business, and it's a it looks like it's a very important business at that, because it has so many applications: folding proteins, you know, for drug research, you know, writing personalized children's books, you know, real estate blurbs, etc.
Yeah, well, so I mean, obviously there have been a lot of inventions over the years since the steam engine that have decoupled economic growth from population growth, including electricity and the telegraph and internal combustion engine and computers themselves. I suppose this, but there's always losers as well. Do you think there's losers with AI?
I'm sure of it. I'm sure there will be people that lose as a result of AI. Just as the weavers, you know, lost their jobs as a result of the mechanized knitting mill, etc. But, you know, the point of the exercise is that is the way that progress on this planet works. And so, you know, there are winners and there are losers. Those that learn how to manipulate the tools will probably win. Those that don't want to change will probably lose.
I suppose I'm specifically wondering whether you are aware of investment losers.
Companies that will not benefit from AI.
Yes.
Well, yes.
Who gets disrupted by it?
Well, who gets disrupted by it? I mean, if you needed 10 people to do a series of different jobs around the creation of your website and marketing, etc., you might only need one. Right, because you can tell the AI to design a website that features the looks like this, has these kinds of words on it, etc. And that can be like, there's a Wharton professor out there literally yesterday talking, who's set himself 30 minutes for his and instructed his AI to build an AI around a game, do the website, the marketing, etc., etc. He described the output as superhuman in just 30 minutes. So all those people that were involved in the creation of the game previously will either have to make more games themselves or learn how to use the tools.
Yep.
That's the way it works, I think.
Let's talk about other specific companies that are winning. We've mentioned Nvidia, Google and Microsoft. Are there any others that you've invested in, perhaps smaller than Google and Microsoft, that are going to take advantage of this platform?
Yep. I mean, you know, there's another chip maker called Nvidia, it's called AMD, in which we also hold. We also hold TSMC, which is, as it were, you know, the world's foundry, so to speak. We, you know, because the speed at which this all has to happen, it's manipulating 175 billion parameters, 175 billion. You know, the data center itself has to be, you know, super fast speed. So that requires Arista in the background as a networking play. And there's a bunch of companies besides that as well.
What about data centers? Do you think they become winners given the amount of data that needs to be stored?
Absolutely. And again, that's the Microsoft, Google, Amazon question around data centers. And they are massive users of machine learning and AI tools. They will have to provision accordingly, and companies all over the world will use their, like, you know, you go onto the Qantas website, a chatbot comes up and talks to you about the flight that you want, right? That's going to get a lot more sophisticated in the next 12 months. And to get more sophisticated, it's going to require a truckload more grunt up in the cloud for you to get the results that you want. Because currently the chatbot experience is just not that great, right? So this will allow it to be much, much better. So yes, obviously clouds.
So Amazon's AWS and Microsoft's Azure will take over the world.
Well, taking over the world is a big call because there's antitrust and all that sort of stuff. But
the point you're making, I think, is that these things, these engines are going to be doing far more.
No, they are. Well, they are. Alibaba just was forced by the Chinese government, I believe, to split itself into six different companies. I mean, so the answer to the question is there is accretion of power and you know, wealth to these big companies. But, you know, then Washington has its own way of dealing with overlarge corporations. And, you know, the breakups are possible. But, yes, prima facie, these companies that have these big tools, and they are, and capital is a massive moat on this, right? If you're going to roll out AI with 175 billion parameters, it's going to cost you, you know, tens of billions of dollars. This is not for the faint-hearted. That is not to say, by the way, that there won't be a bunch of very clever little, you know, baby companies that specialized in certain particular niches, areas, like Jasper is one of them, right? It's good for, I can't remember what Jasper does exactly, but it's good. It's on a little AI niche. You know, there will be not startups, but there'll be companies that use those tools and, as it were, retail the wholesale cloud to people that have specialist needs. Here's the example, right? You go to the doctor. If you approve it, the conversation between you and the doctor is rendered into text, summarized, doctor checks it, copies sent off to the specialist, copies sent off to the imaging people, copies sent off to Medibank, all done, right, at one go. That's kind of been possible a bit in the last 5 or 10 years. It's going to get turbocharged.
Alex, you tend to not trouble yourself too much with Australian companies. Are you aware of any Australian businesses that are engaged in this at all?
Look, it's a big, currently, it's a large cap game, right? So there just aren't the size, you know, because it is, you know, Microsoft's investment in OpenAI is $20 billion, right? That only works if you've got a sufficient number of, you know, subsidiary businesses that you can lay off that capital cost, you know, and use other businesses to fund it. So no, I'm not aware of too many. I'm sure there are some, but we involve ourselves mostly in the main game and where the big trends go, and that's worked for us in terms of return over a protracted period of time. So we're disinclined to change.
Excellent to talk to you, Alex. Thank you.
My pleasure, Al.
That was Alex Pollock of Loftus Peak.